Good morning. My name's Gary, and the second Bible reading today is taken from John chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. This can be found on page 1116. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous signs that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Gary. Well, good morning. My name's Ollie. It'd be great if you could keep your Bible open with you today. You might also like to look at the newsletter. It's got a outline for where we'll be going, so you might like to look at that as well. But as we begin, I'm going to thank God for that time. So would you pray with me? Gracious God, would you make your word our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern for the sake of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come back with me to a time before smartphones and iPads, to a time when Braveheart had just been released in the cinemas, to a time when the Macarena was taking the world by storm. Come back with me to the days of young Ollie. The year's 1995 and I'm 8 years old. It's a Sunday morning, 11:30 a.m. I've just finished with church and it's time for lunch. But today is a special day because today is my grandpa's birthday. And so what do we do on special days like this? Well, we go to the most magic place there is. We go to Smorgies. I don't know if you're familiar with Smorgies. For those who didn't have the pleasure of ever visiting Smorgies, let me fill you in on what you missed. Smorgies is an all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant. But not just any all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant. It is the king of all-you-can-eat buffet restaurants. I kid you not, it had waterfalls, volcanoes, and talking trees. And this is it here. So that is Smorgies. And it was the most magical place imaginable for young Ollie. But not only did it look like that, it also had food of every kind. Roast pork, roast beef, roast chicken, roast potatoes. And then a dessert bar beyond imagining, mousse, ice cream, jelly, and the piece de resistance, a donut machine that made the donuts in front of your eyes. It is hard to understate just what a wonderful place this was for 8-year-old Ollie. And so, of course, then, I would eat nothing all day to make sure that I had enough space to eat lots once we got there. And then once we arrived, I'd go for round after round after round. until at the end I was so full I could barely move. In fact, sometimes my parents had to roll me out of the building. I'd eaten so much. It's fair to say I loved smorgies. Why am I sharing this childhood memory with you? Well, because just like me as a child, we all need to eat. But not just physical food. We all need to eat in a spiritual sense. We all need to eat something deeper and something more satisfying. See, the reality is that we are all weak, needy, hungry beings. Each and every one of us. Whether we realize it or not, we all need to be filled. We all have a hunger in our souls that's longing to be quenched. For me, my life has had ups and downs, seasons of plenty and seasons of want, but in God's kindness, there are and have been many blessings in life. I'm very thankful for a loving wife and two beautiful boys. I'm very thankful to you, a wonderful church family. I have a bunch of good friends and a fairly clean bill of health. There are so many good things in life, but you know what I've found? Despite that, despite all of those good things, I still sometimes find myself with an ache for more. As good as those things are, I find that they still don't quench the hunger of the soul. I wonder, are you a bit like me? Maybe you grew up in a loving family and have always walked with Jesus. Your shelves are filled with well-worn theological books and your calendar is filled with serving at church. Maybe you've overcome a challenging upbringing and you've now achieved the career that you wanted. Maybe Christianity's new to you and there's been ups and downs in life, successes and setbacks, but even so, there's not many things that people would look at and consider messy in your life. And yet maybe despite all of that, like me, you're still longing for more. You're still left with a hunger of the soul. You're left with a deep ache inside that nothing else seems to quench. So this is the challenge for those of us in the good life, for people like us, where we don't always realize the depth of our need. Or maybe for you, life is messy. The ache is obvious to you. You're surrounded by broken friendships and broken relationships. Your studies and work hasn't panned out how you wanted it to. You struggle daily with mental health. Your finances aren't what you hoped. And so for you, you desperately long for something more than what this life is offering. See, whether life is good or whether life is messy, we are all hungry beings with a pang for something more, something deeper and something more satisfying. So the question then, of course, is, well, what are we to do? If that's the hunger of the soul that we have, what are we to do? Well, the good news is that the hunger pangs have a purpose. Though they're often uncomfortable, though they're sometimes painful, they remind us to eat. And what we have before us today is a feast, a spiritual feast laid out for us to take and to eat, a feast that can quench the hunger of the soul. See, that's the offer of Jesus here today. He's the offer that he is the one who can satisfy. He's the one that can satisfy those hunger pains we have in a way that nothing else can. And so what we'll see from Jesus today is that Jesus gave physical food to the physically hungry, and Jesus offers spiritual food for the spiritually hungry. So let's get into it then. We pick up our passage as Jesus crosses over the sea with a giant crowd in tow. And did you see why it is they're following him? Have a look at verse 2. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. See, his popularity isn't because of any sophisticated theological understanding. It's not from a pious desire to learn more about God. Not at all. His popularity stems from pure, unadulterated self-interest. The crowds have heard all of what Jesus has done, and they want some of that. They're hoping to get a bit of it for themselves. And so in a sense, they see Jesus as a massively effective, completely inexpensive healthcare. And so they flock to him in huge numbers. And you can just imagine the scene as they do. Jesus is up on a mountain talking with his disciples, and in a break in the conversation, he looks up. And as he does, he sees this great tide of humanity washing across the land towards them. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people covering as far as the eye can see. I like to think it was maybe a little bit like this. This is outside the MCG on grand final day. You can just see people as far as the eye can see, covering every little bit of land. And in a sense, that's what Jesus sees when he looks up. And as he sees them, out in the middle of nowhere, far away from cities and towns and any source of food, his heart goes out to them. And so he turns to Philip and he asks him a question. Have a look at verse 5. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now imagine being Philip here. You're just kind of sitting there, minding your own business, enjoying the day, enjoying the sunshine, when suddenly Jesus turns his penetrating gaze on you and asks you to solve what is an impossible situation. All these people and no food. And you can get a bit of a sense of that helplessness in his response. Have a look at verse 7. 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now, of course, it almost goes without saying that 8 months' wages is a lot of money. The average wage in Australia is approximately $65,000. So two-thirds of that is approximately $40,000. It would cost $40,000 to buy enough food here for each person to have one bite. That's a lot of money, and that is a lot of food. It's an impossible amount of money and an impossible amount of food. In fact, the situation is so absurd that Andrew then kind of chimes in, help, almost half-jokingly, and he points out there's a small boy there with a picnic lunch. So you can just imagine the conversation. Jesus says, Phil, look at all these people. How are we going to feed them? Phil replies, I don't know, Jesus. I don't have $40,000 in my pocket. And then Andrew chimes in, well, the good news, fellas, see that kid over there? He's got a picnic. Like, I mean, it's just such a ridiculous situation, just such an impossible situation. They're in the middle of nowhere with a giant and increasingly unhappy crowd with no food in sight and no way to get food. And in a sense, we're just like the crowd. I mean, we're not in the middle of nowhere with no food, but in our lives, they need something more. We have that hunger pang that needs quenching. Even if we feel full most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that there's those small glimpses of hunger in the background, hiding in the back of our minds, because we are all hungry beings. And so then we're constantly on the hunt for something that will satiate that hunger. Every year we consume hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of entertainment, Netflix, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, binging on cheap amusements, hoping to satiate the hunger of our souls. We mindlessly scroll through social media. We fill our homes with the clutter of insatiable consumerism. We overcrowd our calendars with people and things, hoping to satiate those pangs, but nothing works. And so then we're left echoing the words of those great cultural poets, the Rolling Stones, when they say, I can't get no satisfaction because I try. And I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. That is what we're left saying. See, just like the crowds, we have a hunger pang with no way to satiate it until Jesus takes charge. Because what we see in verse 6 is that actually all along he knew what he was going to do. So now in verse 10, he instructs everyone to sit down, all 5,000 of them. And in fact, it was most likely many more than 5,000. It's 5,000 men, so that's not including women and children. And scholars estimate there could have been up to 20,000 people there. Once this tremendous throng sits down, covering all the land, Jesus rolls up his sleeves and he gets to work. And then in perhaps the greatest undersell of all time, John describes what Jesus did. Did you see what he says? Have a look at verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated. I mean, what an understatement is that? Here we have Jesus feeding more than 5,000 people and possibly up to 20,000 people with just a few small loaves and a fish. And all John says is that Jesus gave thanks and distributed it. There was no casting of a magical spell. There's no frustrating of himself before a capricious God, no dancing around, no reciting elaborate chants. Jesus simply thanks God, and the food is multiplied. Why is it so simple? It's because that's how simple it was for Jesus. What was unreachably impossible for the disciples was as simple for Jesus as passing around a bag of chips. That is how easy it was for Jesus. And in fact, did you notice how much food everyone gets? Have a look again at verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated a teeny tiny bite. Is that it? No, of course not. What about this? Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated a small meal, enough to take the edge off the hunger. What about that? Well, not at all. It was as much as they wanted. This is an all-you-can-eat buffet. And you can just imagine it at first. Maybe they don't take too much. They don't want to be greedy. They just take a little portion, just enough to take the edge off the hunger. They want to make sure there's enough food to go around for everyone. But then they see the bag goes around, and then Dave goes back for seconds. And if Dave got seconds, maybe they should get seconds. So they go up, they take some. Everyone gets seconds. Then they go back for thirds, and maybe fourths, and maybe fifths, until at the end, they are completely stuffed. They are as full can be. They cannot fit another bite. And so they undo the top button of their pants. They sit back and let out a contented sigh. See, this is how Jesus deals with our hunger pangs. It is with incredible, abundant plenty. And in fact, it is still even more plentiful than that. Because did you see what comes after that? Jesus tells his disciples to collect all the leftovers, and look how much there was. Verse 13. So they gathered the leftovers and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I mean, think how mind-boggling this is. There's more food left over at the end than there was food to begin with. That is how abundant Jesus' provision is. That is how satisfying Jesus' provision is. See, Jesus is showing us here that his provision is plentiful, abundant, bounteous, lavish, extravagant. And the incredible thing, though, as good as this miracle is, as plentiful as this miracle is, actually, it's just pointing forward to something greater. Because while here he gave physical food for the physically hungry, the whole point of this miracle is to point to a greater truth. That Jesus offers spiritual food for the spiritually hungry. Because the next day after these events, they cross over to the other side of the lake. And while there, Jesus expands a bit on this miracle and he expands on himself. So this is still John chapter 6, but it's verse 35. And this is what Jesus says, speaking to the disciples. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See, Jesus is saying that he is the bread, not normal bread, but the bread of life. And that anyone who comes to him will never go hungry again. Now, the point, of course, isn't that if we follow Jesus, we never need to do grocery shopping again. We never need to do cooking again. No, the point is it's metaphorical. Jesus is saying he doesn't just give bread, but he is the bread. And to help us understand this, we need to kind of realize just how important bread was to people in those times. It was their staple. I wonder if someone asked you the question, what is the staple food of Australians? What is our staple diet? I wonder how you'd answer them. Maybe fish and chips, maybe lamingtons, maybe barbecue. How would you answer that question? It's a bit of an unfair question. It's a trick question. I don't think there actually is an answer. See, our tastes in Australia are so diverse. Our cultures are so assorted. Our food supplies are so plentiful that it's essentially meaningless to ask what's our staple. We don't have a staple. We can get any food we want, any time we want. We can eat anything we want. But in ancient Israel, they did have an answer to that question, and the answer was bread or bread and fish. See, that is what people ate. That was their food. That is what fed them. That is what sustained them. That is what nourished them. And Jesus is saying that that is what he is for the soul. Jesus is saying that he is to the soul what bread is to the body. Yet, while physical food doesn't satisfy us forever, Jesus does. See, the person who eats physical food will get hungry again pretty soon. I love how C.S. Lewis, the famous author, puts it. This is what he says. He says, you can never get a cup of tea large enough or a book long enough. As spoken like a true Englishman, and you can imagine the British accent as he's saying it. But the point is true. Nothing is ever enough. No cup of tea is ever enough. No book is ever enough. No food, no music, no pleasure, none of it lasts forever. Even the best of meals from Smorgies might fill us for the rest of the day, but we get hungry again the next day. Created to be filled, we hate being empty. And so then, what that leads us to do, in an effort to satiate our longings, or to at least numb them, we then succumb instead to temptation. We entertain lust in our pursuit of pleasure. We shop in excess to hush our discontented hearts. We obsess over our appearance in our quest for beauty. We chase after accomplishments and recognition in our search for glory. Or we place our worth in human approval and are devastated when we don't get it. See, we expect others to fill us in a way that only God can, and then we resent them for falling short. See, this is the issue. We look somewhere for that lasting satisfaction. But everywhere we look, might thrill us at first, but it will end up being futile in the end. Why is that? It's because we were made to know the living God. And nothing less than knowing him will satisfy us. And so without him, we will be hungry forever. But when we orientate our hearts towards him, to behold him, then he enlivens our dulled hearts with wonder. He's the source of contentment and pleasure. He's the sum of all beauty and glory. He's the supplier of true comfort and peace. See, when we behold our eternally worthy God, our wonder will never be exhausted. Because only God's love can satisfy our longing hearts. Now, of course, there'll still be seasons in life. Good seasons and bad seasons, tough times and times of plenty, highs and lows. But throughout it all, Christ satisfies those hunger pains. Because in Christ, we meet God. We meet our Creator and our King, our Maker and our Master, our Protector and our Provider, our Saviour and our Deliverer. So in Christ, we meet God, the one who can truly satisfy us. See, we all have that hunger deep down inside of us. We're all yearning to be fed. And today, Jesus has laid out that spiritual, all-you-can-eat banquet there in front of us. It's on the table waiting for you, waiting to be enjoyed. And as it's sitting there on the table, Jesus is standing next and he's speaking to you. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, come and eat. Come and eat of this table. He's inviting us to come and eat of the bountiful satisfaction that is on offer, a satisfaction that won't ever dull, that won't ever fade, that won't ever leave us wanting more. He's saying, come and eat. Come and eat of God's grace that runs so deeply that we could never outrun him in our guilt. Come and eat of the God who seeks us when we hide, who covers us when we fail, who clings to us when we fall. Come and eat of the one who comforts us in our tears, who lifts us up in our brokenness, and who forgives us in our sin. Come and eat of the one who doesn't bully or bellow or berate us when we come to him in tears because we've betrayed him again, but who instead treats us with tenderness as he wraps his arms around us and draws us close. Come and eat of the lover of our souls who will never abandon us to sin. Though we kick and scream against us, against him, he holds us with a firm gentleness. Come and eat of the one who loves you so much that he gave his son to die so that you might have eternal life. Jesus is saying to you today, come and eat. But of course, it's not just come and eat. See, the wonderful thing about this invitation from Jesus is just how plentiful it is. God doesn't want us to be satisfied with a meager portion of him. He's not interested in just kind of placating us with just enough to be at peace, not at all. He wants us to come and to eat and to eat and to eat and to eat. And when we've eaten enough and can't fit another bite, eat some more. In a sense, he wants us to be like me at Smorgies. So in love, he stirs up our spiritual hunger so that we'd come to him over and over and over again, so that we'd continually return to him to be filled. See, that's why he gives us hungry hearts. And so Jesus isn't just saying, come and eat. He's saying, come and eat and be filled. Come and eat your fill. Come and eat of this goodness. And this is his promise. Each time we do, he will satisfy in a way that nothing else can. He will never leave us hungering for more. See, wherever you're at today, Jesus is speaking to you. Whether you're oblivious to your spiritual hunger or whether you're overwhelmed by it, Jesus looks at you and he sees you. And as he looks at you, he's laid out this spiritual all-you-can-eat buffet. It's right there for you, waiting on the table. And Jesus is saying to you, come and eat and be filled. So the question for you then is, will you eat of this table or will you be left dissatisfied? I'm going to pray and ask God to help us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for Jesus, the bread of life. Thank you that he is the spiritual food that we need, the spiritual food that can satiate that spiritual hunger that we all have. Would you help us to come to him and eat and be filled? Help us to eat and eat and eat and eat and then eat some more. Help us to find the satisfaction that is an offer in him, because in him we meet you, our maker and our king. Would you help us to see that you are the one and the only one that can satisfy us in the way that we long for? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.